afternoon. Today is Thursday, April the 24th, 123rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, boy, now sitting up at attention.
Yep.
Mr. Young Mr. Yeager.
Yes. Commander, Captain.
Oh, I see. You want titles now, too. Okay.
I had to beat you.
Mr. Highway Patrol. How's that?
That's perfect. Chips.
Perfect. You're saying I'm perfect?
No.
I didn't think so. Okay. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about Roadie Week, as that's coming up this weekend. Also, well, some of the behind-the-scenes folks involved in law enforcement sometimes don't get as much recognition as what other units do. Well, that's a cop term. Other departments do.
Correct.
We'll talk a little bit about some of those also, as there's recognition going on this evening about that also. So we got a couple things to kick around and whatever else may enter our fertile minds when we come back. Okay, 14 equals 13, 3. Yeah. You know, you can pull the microphone to you.
I guess.
If you...
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
One. Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Adam Yeager. But before we do our quote this afternoon, oh, that's interesting. You want a Harry Potter quote?
I'm sure my kids do.
Okay. Or 9 months. This is a quote from the author of 9 months in the Life of an Old Maid.
Hmm.
Your choice. I like the first one.
Go ahead.
All right. Harry Potter. Here we go. J.K. Rowling, quote, "There are all kinds of courage. It takes a great deal of bravery to stand up to your enemies, but just as much to stand up to your friends."
I like that.
Isn't that kind of cool?
That is good. I'm glad you went back to that one.
Yeah. I can't imagine that there would be anything more challenging, particularly for the officers who are in the areas where they grew up, whether it's here or wherever it is, than to have an interaction with somebody who is a buddy of a brother or a sister, your folks, friends, people that you've known outside of and in a very casual basis, rather than just another person you're pulling over, another person who's involved in some kind of criminal activity. How do you work through that, or can you?
It's difficult. I know. I remember when I worked for Eureka PD and running into people I knew, and actually had an encounter with a relative that was causing some problems in Denny's at 4 a.m. But tried to handle it the family way and didn't go too well. So he put some handcuffs on, and that's the way it goes. I'm sorry, not my fault.
But there still is a little wiggle room for normal guy to be able to take care of whatever situation is.
Yeah, we have discretion. So, I mean, you can use discretion on what you do, and you do that every day with everybody you deal with. So,
how disappointing is it when you run into a classmate or one of these folks, and you can tell, you know, they're involved in ugly stuff, you know, whether it's just the normal drug things, or there's something worse? I mean, do those become core issues for you?
It's hard. Again, I go back to my Eureka PD days of going to a burglary in the middle of the night and interrupted the burglar in progress, chased him down and tackled him about a block and a half away, and ended up being someone I played football with when I was in eighth grade. And he kind of turned because I was a lineman and he was running back and was shocked that I was able to catch him. So he had to.
You slimmed down, he bulked up.
He was like, "Yeah, you never ran like that in football." And we kind of, you know, we get along, we treat them with respect, and but it is sad. It's because it does happen. The drugs tear people apart, and they do. Yeah, it's not a fun situation, but in that case, we kind of made light of it, but best we could.
Do they tend to, in those scenarios, Adam, does it tend to reduce some of the tension that might otherwise be there, or can it go the other way, too?
I've never seen it go the other way. In most cases that I've had, it reduces the tension and actually makes things go pretty well. But, I feel like whether I know them or not, I have kind of a knack of doing that, and I think most law enforcement people do, and have a knack of reducing the tension and make it go, you know, go well.
Part of the salesmanship,
it
so
is.
To speak.
It is, yeah.
So yeah. When you start talking about sisters and how you doing and how the kids, I
mean, yeah, reduces the stress level in a terrible, you know, stressful situation.
Does the same play out when it's a traffic stop?
Yeah, I mean, again, you have that discretion and you use that every day. You know, sometimes verbal warnings are appropriate, and I think sometimes that tool works just as well as if you're getting a ticket, you know.
Come on, you goofball.
Yeah, knock it off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
or words implying the same.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. But fortunately, I haven't been in too many of those situations. A few, but not that bad, so.
Now, there used to be kind of the good old boy network where if something was going on, the officer sometimes would escort the individual home to make sure that they made it home safe. Is that now part of the mythology of what used to happen?
You know, I've heard of that, but I mean, are you really going to let a drunk driver drive down the road? You're going to follow him? I mean, that just spells liability and not a good decision making thing. So I just don't think that happens. Whether it happened in the old days, I guess it could have. But
or a ride home in the cruiser.
Again, that runs into its own little problems because alcohol does crazy things to people. So.
Well, I would think you have a lot of equipment in there now, too.
There is a lot of equipment in there. And like I said, alcohol makes people do strange things when used improperly or at excess.
Is there any way you can tell in advance if somebody's going to be a loud drunk or a quiet drunk?
I think with experience, I think you can tell that. Yeah.
Before inebriation?
Yes. Yeah. Not always. I wouldn't say hard, fast rule.
Not going to put you to the test on that one.
Yeah, thank you.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319. We'll be back with more from Adam Yeager.
Sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good
mark. Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Adam Yeager. Adam, one of the things that is kind of a traditional thing around is the Rhododendron Festival, Rhododendron Parade. It's transitioned from the Chambers of Commerce event to a Rotary event now. Does that change how you guys interact? Because it's not a quasi-governmental entity, it's a volunteer organization. Does that change the relationships at all with CHP and other folks that are involved from the law enforcement and public safety arena?
No, not at all. And we still, you know, sometimes they forget to reach out to us. And I know this year, Matt Harvey, you know, called them and said, hey, we want to be part of that. And we're actually going to bring our Camaro over here and be in the parade.
That's the one that does 0 to 5,000 in 10 seconds?
Exactly. Yep.
So demonstrations along the parade route?
Jet pack. Yeah. But yeah, something different that people don't normally see over here. It's a really cool looking Camaro, black and white Camaro. So we're going to have an officer in that, and told him to, hey, throw your kids in there and have a good time. And we'd love to be part of that. Doesn't matter who's putting it on, but.
Yeah, I just flashed you something. I don't think I've heard of it, so I'm not sure. Remember the big monster trucks?
Yeah.
Okay, now that CHP has got their trucks, do you have a monster truck?
We don't have a monster truck, but we have some pretty cool antique high patrol cars throughout the state, and some pretty tricked out where officers have purchased rigs and made them into high patrol cars. And it's
can you do that?
You can, but as long as you're using it for parades and car shows and things.
Oh, not for official use.
Not for official use. No, no official use. So
you could have the CHP go kart.
Yeah, but I think it'll be fun parade and fun week. So
as things kind of come together, and you guys are doing some of the PR and the outreach and things like that, more of an effort today to do that sort of thing than there has been in past years?
I don't think so. I just think that seems to be a lot more going on. We have the Every 15-Minute program, which is just tremendous, and just had that here recently at Arcata High. And then we have Start Smart program and pre-teen driving program, and We have a lot. So, you know, I feel bad for Matt because he's trying to get into all the high schools. We want to be in the elementary schools. We want to be part of Safe Routes to School. And so there are a lot of, you know, I could probably clone, I wish I could clone Matt. He does a tremendous job, and have him everywhere.
That's got to be a bit of a challenge because, you know, when you do that, you're taking them off the street.
Right.
But on the other side, you're trying to do that so that there's not as much need to be on the street. How do you determine if the outreach or PR or public education or whatever phraseology is used is proving to be effective?
Well, I think it is proven to be effective because we, you know, by getting into high schools and trying to lower the accidents with teens and alcohol-related and distracted driving. I mean, look at where we're at with seatbelts. We didn't before it was a law, and then it became a law, but you couldn't stop them unless you had another violation, to now where we have close to 96%, 96 to 98% people are wearing their seatbelts. So we're hoping we can get that way with the phones too. Down
there. You beat me to the punch. Yeah, I did. You knew I was going there.
So I just look at that. I think it is success and what we do in the outreach. But you're right. You don't want to I got to have those beat officers out there, so I'm not going to. That's our first priority, and that's the bread and butter of the High Patrol, is having guys out enforcing and educating and, you know, and being out visible. So
how big do you have to be before you have two PIOs? Is it like a Santa Rosa?
Santa Rosa only has one that I know of. I know here we have Cy May. He's another officer that's a road officer, but he backs Matt up, and he'll be doing the roadie parade this weekend. We also have another officer out in Willow Creek, Eric Nelson, that does a lot of community outreach and things out there. So we use the road dogs to supplement what Matt does and what that portion of the job,
or at least to support what he does.
Is support, yeah. So, yeah.
Where's the closest motorcycle?
The motorcycle officers. Yeah. We have two in Redding, and then I'm not sure how many Santa Rosa has. I think they have a half dozen or so.
Is that reflective of the congestion on the main highway, whether it's 5 or 101, or is that a population dynamic? You know, whether a lot of people are on motorcycles, or there's a lot of cross
traffic. Well, Santa Rosa, it's you know, commute. It's really hard to get around in a car, so it's important to have those motorcycles out certain days. Redding, they have pretty good weather, other than just a few little window there in the wintertime. And I know that, you know, it's starting to pack up over there too. So motorcycles, I know, work well, and we bring them over. We used to bring them over for reggae. when Reggae would be backed up for miles, and the Ready, it used to be Santa Rosa, and then Ready Motorcycles would come over and help us
get. They don't dress. They don't dress in dreadlocks, though, do they?
They don't. They okay. don't. Yeah.
Just make sure that that's taken care of. KINS News and Information Times 3:30. We'll be back with more from Adam Yeager.
Introducing Tapas and Tinis in the Sunset Restaurant at Sherry Heights Casino. Spring is here, so on your way home from the beach, come check out the sunset. Restaurant doors will be opening an hour earlier, offering a small plate, tapas, menu available at a discounted price from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Signature martinis will be reduced to $7, and happy hour also applies with dollar-off drafts and wells. Also, make sure to check out the new spring menu for an amazing dinner, available starting at 5 p.m. daily. The Sunset Restaurant at Sherry Heights Casino, just off the 101 in Trinidad.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Adam Yeager. Adam, the challenge I would think for a lot of folks within law enforcement is you got the guys and the gals who are out in front, and they get the pictures, and they have the little baseball cards, and they have all the goodies, and they get the attention, and they get the fancy suits, and you know, all that kind of stuff. But then there's a support staff. It's kind of like a movie is the way I've always positioning. You know, you got the two or three dozen that are out in front. You got all the computer generated people that don't ever really exist. That would be the state. And then you got all the folks behind that allow you to do what it is that you do. Mechanics for the automobiles, the tech guys for the computers, the office staff, all those types of folks. Of the people that are employed, let's say out of Arcata right now, what percentage are guys that get to, gals that get to wear the uniform, and what percentage are those who don't?
Do I have to give you percentages? Can I just give you numbers?
That's right. I forgot. Public education. Let's back it up. Yeah.
We have a great support staff, non-uniform support staff at the Arcata CHP. We have, an office manager and a couple office assistants, and then we have a couple motor carrier that work on all the commercial, with the commercial officers and the commercial program, doing inspections on
those are the trucks at the pullovers or.
Well, no, these are motor carrier specialists that drive vans that go out to the trucking companies and do the inspections.
Oh, okay,
and
so they need to have special certification
and the paperwork
before they're on the road.
And then we have, of course, we have support staff we have auto mechanic and. A maintenance worker and then someone that takes care of our office too, and they're awesome. But I tell you, we have also the dispatch center, which is housed over at Caltrans, and we got two supervisors and 13 dispatchers. Matter of fact, it's Dispatcher Appreciation Week, and we're having a dinner for them tonight with all the other allied agencies at the Elks Lodge, and to show our appreciation to what they do, because they're the ones that take the 911 calls and the panic people, and they have to sort out chaos and get it out to us immediately so we can get people to the scene. And I'm just so impressed by them. And
now, your dispatchers are separate from other entity dispatchers at this point.
We are. We stand alone. Well, and so does Eureka PD and the Sheriff's Office and Fortuna PD. They all stand together. Or stand all alone. Stand alone.
Yeah, okay. Make up your mind.
Together.
Yeah. Why not have a single unified group? Because I would think that there would tend to be times when one group wouldn't be as busy as another, and you could shift across and cross training, because you guys have an awful lot of field exercises where you're cross training with the other guys and the other departments, and whether they're volunteers or whether they're paid and whether they're fire or whether they're law enforcement.
I would agree with that, because you I know in Shasta County they have Shasta Comm that handles everything, but unfortunately CHP stands alone there too.
Oh, really?
They do. They have ShastCom for all the agencies, but we still stand alone. I'd love to see a unified dispatch center that could dispatch. You're right, because some agencies might not be as busy as others, and I don't know. I think it would be. I think probably money standing in the way right now, but I think it'd be a great thing to do.
You put it all, pool everything together. I would think that you would have a facility that could really make some magic happen.
Yeah, I agree. Because right now we take all in unincorporated areas. We take all the 911 calls, and that ranges from 1,000 to 1,200 to 1,500 a week of 911 calls just out of the unincorporated areas that come to our dispatch center directly. And then we have to, of course, if it's a sheriff call, we're throwing them out, and we answer those we have a goal of answering within 10 seconds, and we get them transferred to the other agencies within 10 seconds. A lot of times, a lot quicker than that.
So two rings, pretty much?
We try to get them we try to get it first ring and get going on it. So we have three people that are in, we have two right now. We're in the process of hiring three, but we usually have three working all at the same time, so we can get those calls either dealt with through our agency or transferred to the agency they belong to.
So as you're looking at the call volume, what percentage of them are goofy, really aren't 911 calls?
It's a small percentage.
So it hasn't been as problematic here as it is in some other
areas?
It's
not. A lot of them, they're you know, when someone's calling in, they think they're following a drunk driver. We consider that. I mean, that's game on, or a reckless driver. Those are important calls. I mean,
or triple net in retail.
Yeah, a lot of them know. You have a bad accident. We'll get with phones now. You're getting all kinds of calls, and it's tough because you want to get the call. They want to get those calls out to the field units, but you also try to ascertain as much information as you can. That's hard when people are excited. And
you get 25 calls all reporting the same thing.
All the same thing, yeah.
The redundancy.
Yeah. And they, like I said, to try to balance that and get the right information, they do just an outstanding job. And, yeah, I don't know if a week is good enough to appreciate them, in my opinion. So.
Well, you could have a barbecue for them sometime.
We try to help them out and take care of them, and
or bring something to them every once in a while.
A real cool Krupp's coffee thing at Christmas time, so they just do the one little cup. And
oh wow!
Yeah, but no,
couldn't bring them a soda in the middle of summer.
Yeah,
No,
I know there's mochas and different things delivered to them quite often by the field units that appreciate them too. So
well, next time you have a barbecue for the others, you might want to consider something by.
Yep, and we do that. Yep, we do that. Thank you, though.
Yeah, sure. Anytime I can stir it up, you betcha. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Times, 342. We'll be back with more from Adam Yeager.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m., Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Adam Yeager. Adam, since last time we got together, we had the bus collision with the FedEx truck over in the valley. And I guess the reason we're all sensitive is because Humboldt State was associated with it. But there, it seems as if these types of incidences occur on a pretty regular basis, far too regular basis than what anybody would like. What is the protocol for the investigation with something like that? Because it's not like you can rope off the crime scene. And, okay, nobody go in the room or in the house. Well, that's kind of goofy for a highway. You can't do that. You've got certain dangers by having the debris still there, so you got the cleanup pressures going on. Even if they're in the meridian or on the shoulder, you don't want to leave those things there because, you know, either somebody's gawking and causes another problem, or situations happen and things can develop off of that. So how do you do the investigative part of that?
Well, our MATE team, which is the specialized accident investigation reconstruction experts, they are incredible. They have a sergeant, and I believe they're at 4 officers and a non-uniform that does the vehicle inspections, and then they have a Caltrans engineer that's part of it too that does the engineering of the road, and they are absolutely amazing. And of course, you know, you do have a fine line of we got to get the roadway open. So in that case, I know they had I-5 closed all night long into the next day before they opened up, so they could gather every bit of evidence that they can gather without having to be out there endangering themselves.
Yeah, you don't want to play dodgeball with 75 miles an hour.
You don't want to be having to look over your back constantly for someone else that's going to lose control. But it is amazing. But that kind of reconstruction of that accident scene will take months. I believe
modeling and that kind of stuff.
Everything, yeah, it is pretty amazing. It'll come out in binders and binders of documentation, and I think they're saying 3 months they're going to have something out. But that same team, you know, was called over to Mendocino to help out with the deputy who was shot and killed. They went over there and helped with that scene. This same team that went out to the Forest Service incident on 36 and reconstructed that
scene.
So
these guys are pretty busy.
They are busy. Those guys are absolutely amazing. And they just, you know, call them and they show up and they just get to work and do their job. And I look at them and I feel, can't thank them enough, but just think about what that feels like at family. I've never been part of the MATE team, but I've been part of units and where you're called out in the middle of the night. But they're, pretty amazing at what they do.
So do they come out on any fatal?
No, they'll come out on some, of course, something that major. But if we have, say, we have a fatal where we're going to prosecute somebody either for felony manslaughter or maybe even murder, like we had an incident out 36 with someone that was drunk and had 3 prior drunk drivings, and so they'll come out and we'll at our request and help us. They'll do the vehicle inspections and engineer the road and give us speed and
so try to really reconstruct everything
they
that
do
went up to it.
They do. So
in the Midwest, or I guess in California also, where it gets really foggy in some places, there's the multi-car pileups, whether it's fog or ice, that kind of stuff. Would these guys be used for that kind of a situation, or is that more driving beyond the limits of the current conditions?
No, they are used for that throughout. We in every division in the Highway Patrol, and there's 9 different divisions, has a team like that. So the guys out of Redding, they just handle the Northern Division. You got guys in Sacramento, and of course the team gets a little bit bigger in the metropolitan areas, LA, San Francisco, or Golden Gate Division, Coastal, the border, they all have that team. So, and sometimes they might have to call from other divisions to help out when you have something you have 100 cars in a crash and fog.
Is this the kind of stuff that you request assignment to as you're going through cop school, or are these guys not? Through the police academy, do they come in through a different door?
No, they start just like everybody else, but these are the kind of guys that you looked at that enjoyed calculus and math, and we call them propeller heads. They're wired differently, and you can tell right from the get-go when they're taking accidents that they're going, you know, way above beyond what the average person would do out there, and that is recognized by people like me and when those positions come available, they're the ones that are putting their name in.
Tap them on the shoulder suggest that this might be something for them.
Yeah, they do amazing work. So
thanks for coming by. Hopefully we won't have to hear from those guys for a while.
I hope not. I hope not. So
join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day, hug someone you love, see you tomorrow.